Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Thanks very much for listening to the show today. I know you guys are probably like, where have you been, Austin? Where has your show been? Well, you know, running for president is a full-time job. It's a tough thing to do. And I had quite a bit of things I needed to take care of in order to make sure I was official, legal, ready to go, so that I could conduct a kick-ass 2016 campaign for you guys. Now, a lot of you guys are probably wondering, Austin, what are you doing running for president? Well, if you don't know me by now, you know that I love to cause trouble for big government. And I was considering this decision for quite some time when I moved back to the Midwest a few months ago. And I had to decide for myself whether or not I thought this was the right thing to do. And there were many factors that were taken into consideration for my decision to do this. And some of them included things like the fact that I think that while Rand Paul is a good guy, it doesn't look as if the Republican Party cares much for him or our ideas. And I saw a chance that Republican Rand Paul might not be able to be that standard bearer for libertarians. And if that were the case, then we might have a situation where the Libertarian Party candidate would be the only person standing who would be championing these ideas from the time whenever Rand Paul might step down until our convention, or at least until November, when the election will be held. Now, my thing here is this: you know, obviously, I think Rand Paul's a good guy, but he also doesn't speak to a portion of the libertarian base, specifically of the people who support me right now, and those people deserve to have a candidate that represents what they think are their ideas. So I threw my hat into the race, not just because I didn't think that Rand Paul could win, but because, and that was a big question that people have for me, but because I think that I would do a good job championing our ideas throughout the election until November of 2016. And that's one of the many reasons I've decided to run. I'm running because I think that I would be a good candidate. I would be a good commander-in-chief, and I would be a good president of the United States because I believe in the principles and values that America holds dear. I believe in the American dream. You know, I am middle class. I was born on a farm. I was born in Independence, raised on a farm in Peculiar near a town called Liberty. And if you're a superstitious type, well, then maybe that says something to you. But I wanted to give you guys an update on the campaign for the people who know what's going on. Now, a lot of you guys, you listen to the Freedom Report podcast because we talk about the news of the day. We're definitely going to talk about the news of the day. In fact, I'm going to start off this podcast by discussing some of the major news of the day. But I wanted to make sure that the hardcore campaign team, the people who are the volunteers and the people who are the big Austin Peterson fans, had a chance to hear what's going on with the campaign and see what the plan is, the strategy is moving forward. So let's talk about the news of the day because I think that's important that we have to focus on it. Remember, I do come from a background in reporting. So we're going to talk today about what's going on in the world because those are the things that really matter to people, and especially if they're vetting someone who's going to be president of the United States, then we need to make sure that my points of view jive with yours on this one. And I hope that I can educate you all on what I think is the most important, what are some of the most important things that we need to look at in terms of the debate on foreign policy right now, because obviously the big topic is foreign policy, and this is what's important. So the attacks in Paris have left something like 150 people dead, I think right now is what the death toll is at, and it's not 100% confirmed just yet exactly how many people have been killed or injured in this horrible terrorist attack. The terrorist group ISIS has claimed responsibility for these attacks in official press releases, so I think that it's fair to say that these radical Islamic fundamentalists are to blame for this attack. And the question is, what do we need to do? What should the response of the United States be in order for us to protect our national security in terms of our national defense, and protect, at the same time, protect our liberties. And I think it's important so that whenever a crisis like this occurs, that we don't just fly off the handle and start doing things like passing Patriot Acts and saying, oh, we're going to start restricting the Fourth Amendment, you know, we're going to start restricting civil liberties, or we're going to crack down and have a police state, and we're going to seal our borders. Because if anything, that's what the terrorists want us to do. You know, not only do the terrorists want us to have some sort of response similar to how we did in 9/11, where we invade not just Afghanistan, but we start a war in another country, and put ourselves even deeper in debt. But also that they want us to restrict our civil liberties here at home. And it's important for us to, while it's important, I think, to retaliate, we have to take a deep breath and think about the plan before we act. And I think that that is what the American people want in a president. They don't want Obama to just overreact and start bombing the hell out of everyone. Although we did see that the president of France, Hollande, has already struck certain terrorist sites in Raqqa, which is where it's considered to be the capital of ISIS at the moment. And the president of France, I mean, you know, bless him, I think that that's probably the right move to make, because if you were the country that was attacked, I'm sure that your citizens would want you to act, and not just act out of retaliation necessarily, although I think that there is some demand for that, and perhaps there is a justification for that. But also that in order for there to be, if there's going to be a prolonged campaign or a struggle, we need to correctly identify what the targets and the goals and the mission are. Now, in the news, of course, one of the things that has sort of been flying under the radar, not in libertarian circles, but in mass media circles, is the fact that Senator Rand Paul a year ago called for a declaration of war against ISIS. And the neoconservatives of the party have been trying to brand Rand Paul as an isolationist, which is to me ridiculous, because if the resolution of war that Senator Paul had called for a year ago had been passed and President Obama had the guts and the spine to act on it, then we might have actually taken out ISIS before they could have coordinated this terror attack. So credit to Senator Paul there, and also credit to Senator Paul on another issue that is making big news today. And Senator Paul is attacking Marco Rubio. He's attacking Marco Rubio because he claims that Marco Rubio voted against a bill that would have increased screening on refugees and migrants and immigrants from dangerous countries that are labeled hostile to the United States, places like Yemen, you know, Syria, Iraq. The countries where mostly, you know, it's most likely that terrorists are going to try and get in the United States. Now, ISIS terrorists are claiming that there are sleeper cells here in the United States, that they do have agents here in the United States, and that does put people into fear and terror. But let's just step back for a moment and remember the major differences between the United States and France. And one of the major differences are, one of them is that we have the Second Amendment. You know, I think one of the reasons that those ISIS terrorists were able to continue walking around, indiscriminately murdering people was that those citizens aren't conditioned to defend themselves. They're conditioned to wait for police, to hunker down, you know, and to just run away. But in the United States, we have a gun culture, and that gun culture says that if you hear shots and you have a method to protect yourself, yeah, maybe you do hunker down, but you should keep an eye out, stay alert, and prepare yourself for the possibility that you might have to defend yourself. So to me, I think that something like what occurred in France could not happen in the United States because of our strong culture of the Second Amendment, and we should stand up and defend those principles. Now, if I was the president of the United States, what would I do in a situation like this? Well, a couple of things. The first thing that I would do would be to reach out to the government of France and François Hollande, and I would, you know, offer him my sympathy and condolences and my full support, and say to him, you know, that, you know, he has certain options on the table, and that we, you know, we as the ally of France, we will stand with him. But France, you know, can do one of two things. They can say, one, that they're going to do this on their own, and they're going to fight ISIS and declare war, and they can go in and clean it up on their own, and that's their right to do so. And if that were the case, then I think we should respect them and respect their decision to take the fight to ISIS and fight them on their own. However, because we have a treaty, a constitutional treaty, with the country of France, if Hollande decides, could decide to invoke Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, which would mean what would happen is, because all treaties that are binding on the United States are constitutional, so if France wishes, they could put together a NATO alliance in order for them to put together the coalition of the willing that would be necessary in order to take the fight to ISIS, which would mean that NATO's partner allies would step up, similar to how our allies stepped up with for us following the events of 9/11. So those are a couple of the possibilities. France could decide to fight them on their own, or they could decide to invoke NATO and bring all of the forces, the combined forces of NATO, against ISIS terrorists in the Middle East. Now, if that were to occur, then as if I were President of the United States, I would speak to my Joint Chiefs of Staff, I would assess the national security situation, and if François Hollande called up an Article 5, invoked Article 5, and requested American assistance, I would go to the Congress first, and I would ask them to make sure that everything that is conducted is legal according to the United States Constitution. And if the Congress of the United States were to authorize military force, then I would fight ISIS, and I would destroy them, and I would bring the fight to them, and I would roll tank from Damascus to Baghdad, because the threat of radical Islamic fundamentalism against the citizens of the United States, which they are making threats this morning against Washington, D.C., and they are threatening terror cells here, well, even if you are the most hardcore of anarchists, and you believe in the non-aggression principle, well, a threat is aggression, and it does seem to be a realistic threat from what I'm learning. Now, listen, a lot of people are talking about, oh, well, what about the Syrian refugees in Austin? Oh, you're for open borders. You know, oh, these are the people that are going to come in here and they're going to kill us. Well, they're not going to come in here and kill us as long as we have a Second Amendment. And, you know, I've been on the phone this morning with some of my military professional contacts, as well as some of my more radical open borders extremists. You know, the more hardcore, you know, market anarchists of the school of libertarian classical liberalism, in order to get an idea of what their impressions are for how we might be able to provide for the free market and labor in order to make sure that we're not taking away the rights of corporations and individuals and people to choose who they contract with, whether those be migrants, you know, domestic, you know, citizens, or whether those be migrant laborers. And what I've been able to determine from my think tank of economic and military advisors is that probably the best solution that we have in the short term right now in terms of dealing with these Syrian refugees is to look at the solution that Senator Rand Paul had proposed, which if I were President of the United States and Senator Rand Paul, of course, were in the Senate, I would work with him on this, is that we need to have some sort of advanced screening for people who come from areas of interest. And, you know, as President of the United States, as someone who would be required to uphold the laws of the United States, I think it would be important for us to look at what sort of methods we might be able to use to enhance our security of screening of these individuals. But listen, you're not going to be able to screen people if you refuse to bring in these refugees. The only way you're going to be able to find out who these refugees are is if you bring them in and you can conduct a security check on these individuals. Now, the way that the Europeans have been doing it is they have not been conducting thorough screening of these people. Now, let's look at who the people were that perpetrated this attack. From the majority, it appears that they were not Syrian refugees, although it appears that one or two of them may have been. But it appears that the majority of them were Belgian nationals. I mean, right next door to France, these are Muslims who were living in Europe at the time, who called themselves, you know, ISIS, and who have been supporters of ISIS. Now, people like that, you know, it isn't fear of immigrants that's going to solve these problems here, or you know, the closing of the borders that's going to solve our problems, because Lord knows, you know, people who are going to commit crimes are going to cross those borders anyway, and so we need to have a more realistic policy for how we might screen these people for threats of terrorism. But, you know, I just can't take an extremist position myself on this simply because I feel it imperative that we still defend market liberalism alongside a strong national security. And I don't know that those two things are always necessarily mutually exclusive. So as President of the United States, I would promise to you that I would maintain a strong national security posture while not sacrificing our liberties at the same time. There would not be any passages of Patriot Acts or any fall, you know, George Washington said that we need to guard against the imposters that pretend patriotism. And it's important for us to remember that what we're fighting for, what we're defending against these acts of terror, are our liberties, are our freedoms. And if we give those up, then truly the terrorists have won. And what are we fighting to defend? So I want to convey to you, the American people, a sense of trust that if you were to vote for me, that I would not sacrifice liberty for security. But I don't think that it's an either-or situation, that we can have security and liberty, but that the first line of national defense in this country will always be our Second Amendment rights. You do need police and military for advanced situations, but the strong backbone of the United States lies in our willingness to defend ourselves with guns. And that's what I'm going to say about that situation, and that's all I can really go on right now for this horrible terror attack. And my thoughts go out to those who are affected by this tragedy and crisis, and I think that we should stand with France. Moving on to the campaign, well, lots of exciting things. I actually just got back from a week in New York and D.C., and some of you got to see me on the John Stossel show, and that was really exciting. I was happy to get to go visit all my friends, and I hope that you guys got to see it. If you didn't, I don't have the download of it yet, because right now Fox Business, they changed all the times for it because we got pushed off because of the terrorist attack. So if there's going to be an upload of it, if anybody actually has one out there, I would appreciate it if you could send it over to me. I'm assuming that it's probably going to appear on the interwebs in the next couple of days. So look for that, for the Stossel appearance. Hopefully I'll get some clips out there for you guys so you can see it. But it went terrific, and I'm told that I'll be coming back more frequently as the campaign progresses. I also had an appearance with Tom Hartman, which if you saw it, and you probably did, it was pretty horrible. So we're probably not going to be doing any more interviews like that with those social Democrats because, you know, the screaming and talking over each other is unpresidential, and it doesn't do anything to advance our message, because every time I made a good point, they just went to commercial. So, moving on. The next thing that I really want to discuss with you guys is about the meeting that I had in Virginia. The Libertarian Party of Virginia, of Northern Virginia, had a meeting, I think it was just yesterday. Yeah, no, I left yesterday. So it was on this last Saturday. I met with the Libertarian Party of Northern Virginia, and some of those people were delegates who were going to be at the national convention, and I had a nice little impromptu chat with many of them, answered many of their concerns and questions. Of course, we discussed national security, we discussed monetary, fiscal policy, we discussed the issues that they care about, you know, how we might run a winning campaign, what does winning look like, what are the important factors that we need to consider when running a presidential candidate. And I honestly had a really good experience with these people, and I was very hopeful that many of those people might vote for me at the national convention. And so I think that if we look at the chances that we have in order for us to win the nomination, it's actually a possibility. So I want to tell you that I think that there's a good chance that we're going to win this nomination as long as we can stay together and we can fight for, as long as we can fight for the causes that I think are winnable. Like, what are the really winnable things that we can get out of this campaign? You know, can we expand the liberty movement? Can we grow the Libertarian Party? Can we, you know, terrify the big government establishment parties? You know, what are the things that that we need to be able to do to in order for us to win this nomination? So I want to stress to you guys that there are some really important things that you can do. I've been calling every single volunteer, every single person who's donated, and I haven't gotten through all of them yet, but I'm going to get through them. And I want to tell you what I'm telling everyone else, all the volunteers, what you can do to help the campaign. So if you're interested in helping the campaign, let's start with the most important thing. So the most important thing that you can do is donate. We really do need money. And let me tell you why, because I need to get a good FEC lawyer. Right now we're just sort of flying by the seat of our pants. We've read everything that we can on FEC finance laws, but they're also very tricky. Now I want to stress to you that it's not just about, you know, making me rich or giving me money, and you know, this isn't about the, you know, Austin Peterson's big ego. I really do need this money in order to advance our message, guys. In order for me to mount a credible campaign, I'm going to need more than, you know, $5 and $10 donations. So if you guys can go and step up and find other people who can donate as well, you know, $10, $20, $50, $100, $1,000, that's really helpful, and I promise I will put that to good use. so that I can hire the type of people that I need in order to advance our message and to win this campaign. So obviously donating is a very important thing, but if you guys can't donate, if you are poverty-stricken college students, then there are things that you can do that are very helpful, and you can register as a volunteer. Go to austinpeterson2016.com and click on the volunteer page and send me your information. Tell me a little bit about yourself. What are you good at? What can you do? How can you advance the ideas? What can you plug us into? Is there maybe there's a good lawyer that you know that might be able to step in and offer some assistance in the campaign? You know, we are sort of the underdog in this race, and we're going to be competing against a very powerful two-term governor, Gary Johnson. Most likely we'll be competing against Gary Johnson. And if you want to mount a credible challenge, then we're going to need to think outside the box and find the use the tools that we have to our advantage in order to maximize our impact. So right now, if you want to help, register as a volunteer, or we also have a brochure on our volunteer page that you can download and print out. And of course, it just it costs, so much to print. So you could print like 100 copies, 500 copies, do a little trifold brochure, and then drop it off at your local coffee shop, your hair salon or your barber shop or whatever. Just take the brochure and drop it off, and maybe start a conversation with people about my campaign, who I am, what I'm trying to accomplish, and introduce people. You know, and for a very small amount, you can of course buy wristbands. We have wristbands and we have bumper stickers. Those are $5 a piece, so you can buy a few of those if you like, and that's a good little campaign donation. And a little bit goes to help spread the message of the campaign, and the rest, of course, like goes into those administrative costs for shipping and handling and all of that. But if you're purchasing them, then I'm mailing them out myself, guys. This is real grassroots. We're starting from the very, very beginning, and we do have a lot of people who are volunteering to help right now. But because we're not like a big money campaign, I can't afford to hire the professional staffers yet that I really need in order to conduct a nationwide presidential campaign. But I'm doing my best, and I'm reaching out to all of my professional contacts and doing everything I can to mount a credible campaign. And we're going to do our best to try and give Gary Johnson a run for his money in order to try and advance these principles. Because I think that I think Gary's a good guy. And honestly, if he beat me, I would probably support him for the nomination. I still think I would probably vote for him because I think he's a good guy. But at the moment, right now, he doesn't seem like he's got the fire in his belly. He doesn't seem like he's out there rallying the troops. And I want to make Gary a better candidate. If I can't beat him, then I hope that Gary will be a better candidate for me having run. So I want to talk straight to Gary Johnson right now. Gary, I love you, buddy, and I agree with 90 to 95% of everything you say. But the one thing that I think you need right now is to get out there and start campaigning. Now, I know that you don't want to get involved because you have to start reporting stuff to the FEC, and God knows that's a nightmare. But, Gary, I want you to be the best candidate you can be. I want you to show those neocons and those social democrats just what it means to be a libertarian who knows how to fight. Let's bring the fight to our enemies. Sun Tzu, Art of War, don't wait for them to come and attack you. You need to go bring the battle to their armies, because if they think that you're going to, if you're waiting around for somebody to come and bring the fight to you, well, they've chosen the time for the battle. They've chosen the time and the place and the battleground, and that's not the way that you want to fight. You're taking the Robert E. Lee strategy in Gettysburg, and let me just tell you right now, those Federales on the hills above you are just going to cut you down. And I don't know about you, libertarian movement, liberty movement, or libertarian party members, but I sure as hell am not going to be Colonel Pickett. So I think that it's important for us to take the high ground and for us to get out there and to choose the battlefield. That's what I'm doing right now, is taking the high ground and choosing the battlefield. And I'm doing this on a shoestring budget. I have single-handedly taken this libertarian nomination and placed it into contention. And now people care. Now, no one cared about the libertarian presidential nomination until a month and a half ago when I said that I would run. And now everybody cares, because I am choosing the battlefields. I am putting things into play. And that's what we have to do as a liberty movement, ladies and gentlemen. We have got to put things into play that the establishment thought wasn't into play. We've got to attack them where they're weak, not where they're strong. And as a libertarian party, we've got to grow, and we've got to champion our ideas, and we've got in the media and the press, and we've got to do some fundraising. So I don't know what Gary Johnson's game plan is, his strategy. I mean, I can't know. Obviously, I'm competing with him for the nomination, so he's probably holding those cards close to his chest. But, you know, right now he's talking about, you know, he's suing the Commission on Presidential Debates to try and get in the debates, which I think is admirable but probably futile. He's also struggling with the fact that he still has the campaign debt from last time, which I think is a bit of a liability. And I think it will be a big hindrance for his path to the nomination, as well as his path to the presidency, to the White House. So Gary's got some issues that he's got to take care of. And Lord knows, if he's the nominee, then I want him to be strong. So I want him to take care of those issues. And to be quite honest, I hope he wins that campaign on presidential debates lawsuit. I'm a tad cynical on it, but again, if he wins, it will most likely be a big victory for the Libertarian Party and for the movement. So I can't say that what he's doing isn't the right moves. I think he's probably trying his best with what he thinks is the right strategy. But right now, I think that the fact that he's sort of hanging back and not getting into the race is probably not the best strategy. And if anything, we need to grow the movement and we need to grow the party. And that's what I'm doing right now. And I hope that you are going to join me in this campaign. I'm very confident that if given the right opportunity, if I'm given this platform, ladies and gentlemen, that I would be a good candidate for president of the United States. I think that if faced with Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton, I think that the American people would look at this young farm boy from Peculiar and say, you know, he's a good man. I trust him. He's got the right ideas. He's a little radical, but he's not. But he's sane. And I would bring a rational, sane, healthy libertarian message to the people of the United States. If you trust me and you believe in me, do me a favor. Send me a campaign donation today, even $20. I know that probably is, you know, a lot for some of you guys, but again, I promise I will take it and put it to good use. It's very difficult to run a campaign, and we do thrive on money. If you take that, we will turn that around, and I'll reinvest it right into good campaign materials, hiring a good staff, making sure that we're compliant with all the FEC laws and regulations that we're required to do in order for us to overcome all the hurdles that are necessary in order for us to win this nomination and win the White House. So if you can contribute any little amount that you can, I would be sincerely grateful. And I want to say, if you've already contributed, thank you very much. And if I haven't called you on the phone yet or emailed you directly, I apologize. I will get to you as soon as possible. But I'm doing this the grassroots way. And this isn't about big money and politics. I don't have a super PAC yet, maybe. but right now, I'm putting this together on the backs of volunteers and small donors like yourself. So if you can pitch in, I would sincerely appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Do me a favor, subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find the Freedom Report podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And hey, there's another way you can actually help us out. If you've got iTunes and you know where the Freedom Report is, if you've already subscribed, have you left us a review yet? Leave us a 5-star review. Write a 5-star review. Written review will help us to spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, and hopefully your president in 2016. Don't forget to visit my website every single day. That's your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.